Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black. And in the showcase today, we're delighted to have with us Jui Ellen Simpson-Voss, who is the executive director of a program that many of you may have heard about, but if you haven't, you're going to learn about it, and it's called Girls on the Run. Welcome, Jui Ellen.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, when I talked to you before, I said, you know, I wanted to do this because so many friends said, there's a nonprofit that you should definitely showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Girls on the Run, because they're doing all sorts of things. Now, I understand the organization was founded in Charlotte.
It was. It was founded in Charlotte 20 years ago.
And tell us, what is Girls on the Run?
So Girls on the Run is a character development program and a girls empowerment program. And we use running and physical activity to introduce healthy lifestyle choices to girls. So even though running is a part of what we do, it's really about bringing new ideas to girls, healthy ideas to girls, bringing them together as a group and helping them feel empowered and stronger and build their character.
And you're all over the triangle.
We are all over the triangle, yep. All three counties.
Okay, so if a girl says, I want to be in Girls on the Run, what happens next?
Well, they have to find a school where we're programming or a community partner where we're programming.
Okay.
We are in almost all of the schools in the Chapel Hill Carborough School District. There's just a few schools that we aren't programming in currently, but almost all of them have a Girls on the Run location here in the Chapel Hill Carborough School District. And in Durham, we're in a lot of the schools in Durham as well. And then we're also in several private schools and charter schools. And then in Wake County, we've got a large footprint.
So you're
there
not
as well.
Letting the structure of the program stop you, whether it's public school, private school, charter school. You're just looking for girls to help.
Exactly, yep.
And it's after school programming?
It is after school programming. It's right after school, usually 15 minutes after the school bell rings. They go to their kind of gathering spot and they get themselves ready. They fill up their water bottles, they put on their tennis shoes, and they gather together and they're ready to go.
They get a little briefing, a safety instructions
right,
and then they start running. How far do they normally run?
Well, so it's, again, it's really not so much about the running as it is about the character building and the topics of the day. So our program is a 10-week program. And the first couple weeks starts with really having the girls learn about themselves.
Okay.
So they're really doing a lot of thinking about their value systems, their strengths, what they bring to the table, and they're discussing those things with their other teammates and finding out how they're similar with each other and where their differences might be. And so that's in the first couple weeks. The second couple weeks is really about how they relate to each other in their peer group. So I know these things about myself, and now I know these things about you. So how do we work together to become friends? How do we collaborate on problems and on issues? They start talking about communication skills and problem-solving skills, bullying, gossiping, those types of things that
social
cause
media.
Yeah, social media. Those
how many
types
would
of
be
things.
In a group?
There's 15 girls in a group.
Okay. And so that group will then have a volunteer coach?
There's three volunteer coaches. So
three
the ratio,
per group. Okay.
Yeah, the ratio is great. It's really about bonding with those girls and creating really deep, authentic, genuine relationships.
And where do you get
them.
The volunteers from?
That is a great question. So we're very fortunate here in Chapel Hill that there's so many university students that answer the call to be a volunteer. We also have a lot of teachers who step up and volunteer, social workers, counselors at the schools who want to do that, and then other women who...
Great stress release.
It
Come
is.
Out and run for a little while.
You know, we hear a lot of women say that volunteering for Girls on the Run as a coach is like therapy. It's like, you know, it's an hour and a half worth of therapy for them.
Are any of your volunteers alums of Girls on the Run?
Actually, they are. We have quite a few Carolina students right now who are in some of our very first Girls on the Run teams.
Well, that
and
must be.
It's so exciting to see that life cycle.
Because they're passing it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And that's important, too, in all of these programs. And so the group gets together. They start bonding. Mm-hmm. Some of them probably knew each other before they started the program, I would assume, but not in the same ways.
Right. Well, some do, but many don't. And that's what we've heard a lot of the school administrators and principals tell us that's really unique and special about Girls on the Run is that it brings a group of girls together at the end of the school day who might not normally interact with each other during the school day because it's a very diverse group of girls. We work really hard to make our teams representative of the entire school community.
Right, I got you.
And so, you know, these girls get together at the end of the day and they get to know each other brand new or get to know each other in a different way.
Now, this is a weather-dependent activity, so what do you do when the weather doesn't cooperate?
Well, we have an indoor indoor space and an outdoor space. So we work with the school system.
The school
system
allows you to use the space as an afternoon.
Yeah.
And so they can have their discussions. And
exactly.
You have group moms who bring the snacks? Is that another?
We just ask, pack a healthy snack for your girl at the end of the day.
Yourself.
Yep, yep. And so that's part of that transition time in between school. Mm-hmm.
And so all of this brings them to some sort of, I would say, a feeling of belonging, and bonds are established now.
Yeah, connectedness is definitely one of the pillars of Girls on the Run. We're really trying to get the girls to get to six different things. We want them to feel confident in themselves. Mm-hmm. We want them to build character. We want them to care about each other. We want them to build connectedness with others. We want them to feel competent in their skills. And then we want them to contribute back to their community. And so throughout the whole course of the curriculum, those are the six different things that we're reinforcing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And connectedness, getting to know each other,
right,
feeling like you're in a safe peer group, that's one of the
most
important things.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what about the healthy living part of it? How do you stress that?
Yeah, I think the healthy living part comes in good choices. So we're really helping girls in their character development really try to understand how to make a healthy choice. And that can be in how you choose good friends. That can be in the activities that you choose. That can be in the food that you choose.
And the soda that you don't drink.
Right, exactly. And it can be in, when you get home from school, are you choosing to work on your homework, or are you choosing to spend time on your cell phone, or are you choosing to watch TV? So it's really about prioritizing the healthy, positive things that really fill you. We talk a lot about filling your bucket and plugging into what's positive in your life. And when they can reframe and think about those things, mm-hmm, hopefully it helps them give them that healthy mindset.
And they can
mindset.
Reinforce one another.
Exactly. They
so
can
you're
hold
not out
each
there
other
by
accountable.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's important too. Now, what age group are we talking about that you're organizing into these groups?
So we have two programs. Girls on the Run is our kind of bread and butter curriculum. It's the one that's been around for the longest, and that's for our third through fifth grade girls. And then about a year and a half ago, we started piloting a middle school program called Heart and Soul, and that's for our sixth through eighth grade girls. And that's just, we have probably about 120 or so students who are participating in Heart and Soul. And so that's just launching, but it's getting huge praise from the participants, the parents, and the school administrators.
I could imagine. And then some of the girls can step up to the next level, right?
Exactly.
Well, look, we're going to have to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, let's talk about some of the specific results that you have seen following this, and tell us a little bit about how you got involved. So this is Nonprofit Showcase, and we're with Girls on the Run, Julie Ellen Simpson-Voss, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is Girls on the Run with Julie Ellen Simpson-Voss, and she's the executive director. And when we took our break, Julie Ellen, we were talking about what you see as outcomes,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
I think that's probably the most important thing for an executive director of any organization.
Right.
What we do is one thing, but what's the impact is another.
Right.
So what do you see as outcomes?
Well, we're really excited because we do a pre and a post survey with the girls. And then we also do one with our parents, with our site administrators, and with our coaches. And we're seeing really positive and successful results from those surveys. With the girls, the most exciting things that we're seeing is that we try to measure those six things that I was talking about before, confidence, care, connectedness, contribution. And so we try to measure how the girls develop in those ways over the course of the season. And what we've seen in our surveys is that while all girls make positive gains in those areas, the girls who had the lowest scores in the pre-survey are the ones that are making the biggest gains at the end. And so it seems what we're finding from that is that the girls who need us the most are the ones who are really seeing.
They're benefiting. Is there any correlation to academic performance that you've seen?
That is not something that we measure
right now.
You don't
want to look at it. Yeah, okay.
But what we do have a lot of anecdotal.
Parents would make comments, or the girls
themselves.
Well,
especially the teachers, because like I said before, a lot
of our
coaches.
Yeah.
And so the teachers are seeing direct impact in the classroom.
More focused. more commitment.
And girls that might have been shy and didn't, you know, weren't speaking out are now feeling more confident in themselves. You know, girls that might have been the bullier in the, a bully in the past are not doing that anymore. Girls that didn't have a lot of confidence in themselves are feeling like they can do, you know, they have a can-do attitude now. And principals are seeing that the girls who go through Girls on the Run have a stronger sense of leadership and are taking more initiative
in the
school.
Well, that's great. You know, having had a son in middle school and a daughter in middle school, I think the daughter got bullied more than the son ever did.
Yeah.
Because I think they were cruel.
Yeah.
Middle school's a cruel place.
It is.
I wouldn't go back.
It is. And now, you know, because there's less and less FaceTime between peers, they're doing so much of their interactions through the phone, through texting, that kind of bullying.
And be very cruel there.
And they can be very cruel there. And so one of the things we really try to do in Heart and Soul is teach girls how to be relational face-to-face, how to actually
have a conversation.
And if you're having a conflict with somebody, how to be genuine and authentic and have, you know, try to resolve that conflict face-to-face rather than using your phone to do those sorts of things.
I saw something just recently on the internet about a teenager that was complaining to somebody that her parents wouldn't let her text at the dinner table. I'm thinking, what?
Right. Yeah, we're working really hard to help girls realize that conversation, communication, effective communication, and genuine relationships, those are the things that are lifelong skills and are really important.
Yeah. Now, how did you get involved?
I tend to say it was just my calling. I'm truly blessed.
Well, that's a great thing.
Yeah. It kind of fell in my lap at a time in my life when I was looking for a transition. I am a runner, but I'm an educator. My background, my master's degree is in education, and I've worked in nonprofit and education advancement for most of my career. And so when this position came up, it just really seemed like the right fit.
Were you a volunteer first? Or
I wanted to, but my daughter was too young at the time for me to have the after-school time. And so I did some kind of tangential things with them. I wasn't coaching, though, at the time.
Yeah. Well, what does it take to be able to expand this program?
Well, expansion is not that hard because we have a great positive reputation, and so a lot of people would like for us to be in their schools. So the idea to be in a school and to get us started isn't the hardest part. It's finding the volunteers who will help us.
Because you need three per group.
We need three per group. So, you know, there's lots of schools who would like us to be there. It's a matter of being able to find the women who can commit for that 10 weeks to twice a week. And so I would say that's probably our biggest challenge.
Well, in our
right
last
now.
Segment, let's talk about how people might be able to reach out to you or you be in a position to reach out to them.
Okay.
But with all of these programs, who helps you manage all of this?
Well, I have a fabulous staff, which is our team has just grown tremendously in the last year and a half. For the longest time, I've been there for 7 years, and for like the first 5 years, there were just three of us. But in the last couple of years, I've been able to hire a couple part-time staff. So now we have three full-time and four part-time staff.
And so you can have a little spread going because this is a pretty large territory to cover.
It is a large territory, and we are very relational. And so it's very important that all of our volunteers feel like they're getting the very best from us, that they're getting all the support that they need. We're relational with our donors, with our partners, with our sponsors. And so to have a well-equipped staff to be able to be that hands-on with everybody is really important to us.
One of the things we've heard from some organizations is the difficulty of after-school programming not necessarily fitting into a family's lifestyle because of all the things, you know. I guess it's hard when you have so many different situations that you're facing, but being able to stay after school, how do they then get home? Those kinds of questions.
That is a barrier. That can be a barrier. And that's one of the things that we're actually just now starting to look at is how can we overcome that barrier? And one of our options is looking at programming outside of the schools. We're so fortunate that we have a good relationship with the school systems that they allow us to use that space.
And you're partnered.
And we're partnered, very strong partners. But we're trying to look at other organizations that program, you know, fitness centers or programs that program in the evening, so that way we could have more volunteers who are free after mm-hmm. the workday.
They can come from work.
Right. And then those children are at home, and parents could transport them maybe, you know, once they get home from work, from their home to this location. Mm-hmm. So, but that definitely is a barrier for us, is transportation, and something we need to be considering. Yeah.
So I would guess then that as you develop the young people, mm-hmm. they're probably curious about what other groups are doing. Do the groups ever come together and experience some sort of big run?
Yeah, so that's what we're gearing up for right now. Our Quintiles IMS Girls on the Run Spring 5K is on Saturday.
Gee, how did I know?
I know. How did you know? Great segue. It's on Saturday, April 29th, and it's at American Tobacco Campus.
So we'll air before that, and it's at the American Tobacco Campus.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How many would you expect to show?
So we expect about 2,300 participants.
You're kidding.
Nope. We've got about 900 girls. Every girl comes with a running buddy, so that gives us 1,800 right there. And then we usually have about 500 people from the community who participate as well.
And I'm sure there'll be T-shirts.
Oh,
you got to have a T-shirt.
There's tutus. There's happy hair. There's glitter. There's
Well, speaking
joy.
Of happy, I'm not happy, but we'd have to take another break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back, and we can tell people what they can do to get in touch with you and maybe even ask to volunteer. So this is Nonprofit Showcase, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black, and we're just delighted to have with us Julie Ellen Simpson-Voss, who is the Executive Director of Girls on the Run Research Triangle, and she was telling us about their upcoming event where there will be cast of thousands running around, starting out at the American Tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And you said how many are expected?
About 2,500 participants.
And what time of day will this be?
It starts at 10, but you need to be there at 9.
Nine
in order
in the morning,
to get yourself all ready, all warmed up, and
where
toe
does
the
route
start line.
Take you?
So it goes through downtown Durham, and then it goes into the historic Forest Hills neighborhood.
Oh yes,
and then
yeah.
it grabs the last part of the American Tobacco Trail, and then you end on Blackwell Street. So
oh yeah,
it's
right
really
back to the stadium
yeah,
area.
It's a
yeah.
really beautiful run. If you love downtown yeah. Durham, it gives you some good scenic views.
Yeah. Well, Julie Ellen, if somebody out there listening wants to be a volunteer coach, mm-hmm. what should they do?
Well, they can go to our website. There's a whole place on our website that explains the expectations and the requirements of our coaches. And I think the biggest thing I want to let people know is that anybody can coach. You do not need to be a runner. No.
You don't have to run either.
You don't
huh?
have to run. We say to our girls, if you're moving, you're improving. And so if you like to be out there and just walking and encouraging girls and being a good mentor for girls, that's the only passion that we need.
And what's the website address?
It's www.gotrtriangle.org.
GOTRtriangle.org.
Right.
That's easy to remember.
It is.
And if you put Girls on the Run Triangle in Google,
yep.
it'll take you
it'll
to your
pop,
site.
Pop
I know,
right
I tried.
yep.
And so you can volunteer that way, or you can find out about where the programs are if you have a child that you would like to get involved after hearing all the positive things that can happen.
Yes, we list all of our site locations, and we'll have a new program in the fall that will begin in the middle of September, and registration for that's going to open as early as May.
Oh, okay, so you can get yourself in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
I know this isn't free to do all these things, mm-hmm. so how do you get the money to run this program?
Well, we are very, very fortunate that we have so many generous donors who help to fund our scholarship fund. Last year, we gave away over $100,000 in financial assistance for girls to be able to participate in our program, and that was all individual donors. And in addition to those donors, we also have corporate sponsors like Quintiles and Blue Cross Blue Shield. And so it's through those generous contributions that we're able to make this program accessible to girls who might not be able to afford it.
So a scholarship for a year would run what?
For a season, it's $205.
$205.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
for those who can swing that,
mm-hmm.
They don't need a scholarship, but a lot of kids, no way could they do it.
Right, exactly.
What about shoes? Do you help the girls with making choices about, you said something earlier about making good choices.
Right.
Anybody who's run on bad shoes knows that was not a good choice.
Yeah, well, Fleet Feet has been a great partner with us. They do help provide free shoes for some of the girls that are in need. We also got a grant last year through the Beehive Collective that provided 100 girls with free shoes. So we work very hard to make sure that the girls have everything they need to have a successful season.
Well, and being accessible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, sometimes a program can be a barrier in working against its very own
right.
stated purpose. But
right.
you're bringing people together.
We are hoping to. That's
and I would suspect that when those groups get together, the girls are unaware of who's on a scholarship and who isn't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is not a, that's a non-issue
they
for us.
They have no idea.
No, they're all just apart and celebrating together.
And they become great friends as a result.
They do. And you said something about, do the other girls even know about this? I think they're just, they're thrilled when they get to that 5K and they realize, oh my gosh, there's 1,000 other girls who are doing this with me. It's really just fabulous.
Well, thank you so much for coming on Nonprofit Showcase. And unfortunately, our time is over, but hope to read about all of your great success. And this is your host, Fred Black. We'll see you next time.